This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Hello! Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, where we speak in British accents every Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
Hello!
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 Your hosts, David Blassingame.
Hello!
Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil Summers. We're also joined by Waddle. He's here in the studio with us as well. All right, I don't know how long we can keep that going.
I got nothing.
Should see her.
Aloe is the only thing I got. That's
aloe.
It. Aloe.
Spell it. It's like aloe vera.
Yes.
It's good for your skin.
It's very good. All right. 877-881-1053 is the phone number.
If you have a British accent, you can call in.
Yep.
It's the only way.
This is true. Or any accent. Let's do all accents all day. I like that.
I like it. It's all accents all day.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
And if you can fan text us in an accent, 43733 is the fan text.
Oh, that would be interesting.
We'll get a bunch of misspellings. You can also call AutoFlex if you are looking for Christmas cars. They can still get you in one before the holidays.
You know, there's an interesting article that came out yesterday in one of the trade papers, one of the automotive papers. A lot of people are getting cars for Christmas this year, and it's a big change. For the last couple of years, people have not given cars for Christmas or gotten cars for Christmas for the family. But, you know, it's a heck of a family gift, and a lot of people are choosing to do that as a big gift to the whole family, maybe a new SUV or mm-hmm. a new van or maybe, a new whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, the sports coupe for someone special. Anyway, if you want to get a Christmas car, certainly not too late. Easy to do. Give us a call, either 817 or 972-234-1234. If you want to start that whole experience online, AutoFlex.com. And you can go online to AutoFlex.com and see all of the stories that we're going to cover today by clicking on the Facebook page and liking us. Please like us.
Please like us.
You could love us.
Can you? Can you love on Facebook yet? They need to have that as an option.
Love me?
Yes.
love.
You can like, you can poke. Why can't you love?
You should, and they need a eh.
Yeah, right.
Or
the meh version.
Eh.
Right.
Or not so much.
Yeah.
This guy's just
you
okay.
You can also do a birthday car, a Valentine's Day car. David reminded me, I listened to one of his live spots, and he reminded me that one time we did this really cool delivery where the client was giving the car as a gift. And we snuck it out to their restaurant where they were having dinner. So when they got there, you know, they valeted,
mm-hmm. their
took
old
away
car.
The old car. And when they left, the valet brought the new car.
I love that.
The whole nine yards. Isn't that neat?
Yes. And she must have been so surprised.
How do you know
this is the wrong car.
How do you know it wasn't a heat?
Oh, maybe. He must have been so surprised.
After a couple of glasses of wine, you'd be like, no, that's not my car.
Right. Oh, fun.
So you could do that for Christmas, too. We can hide it in the garage. I did that one year. I took a car over to the neighbor's house, and they hid it in the neighbor's garage. So then the next morning, he snuck it out for the next
big
for the Christmas
bow.
Surprise.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Or we parked him in front of the house, like, late at night, put mm-hmm. a bow on him so that the next morning you're parking him in the driveway. Mm-hmm. The car of the dreams is in the driveway.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, Lexus didn't think that up, people.
From the commercial.
Commercials, yeah.
Yeah. So again, the number if you want to give AutoFlex a call, 817 or 972-234-1234. Let's talk a little bit about going to the mechanic, because every time you have to do this, I have a friend of mine yesterday, she had to go in because she blew out a tire, and she gets there, and not only does she need a new tire, but now she needs a new axle, and they get under the car, and
uh-huh.
she needs $2,200 worth of work on her
well,
car.
That's an insurance claim.
Uh-huh. That is an insurance claim.
First of all.
Oh, well, good. I
she
need to tell
to
her
call.
That.
If she's hit something that's damaged mm-hmm. the car to that extent, that's an insurance claim.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think it was more one of those things where they see a girl coming in and they think, okay, we're going to tell her she needs this, this, and that so that we can really rake her over the coals.
And that's why we have this bit of advice for the fans.
But by the way, it's not just girls. Most guys don't know how to work on cars these days. I mean, they're too complicated. When you open the hood now on a new car, they're pretty well just a big plastic thing stuck inside there, you know, mm-hmm. at the engine. Nobody tunes up their engine.
And in the old days, you know, guys were raised and their dads taught them how to work on the car because everyone worked on their own cars.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are gone.
Because you could work, you know, these carbureted engines.
Right.
Back when the Mustang came out, Ford even advertised that car as so simple a secretary could work on it.
Exactly.
That was one of their ad campaigns.
That was one of their ads, yeah.
It's kind of funny.
That is funny.
I know.
Now, guys aren't raised working on cars anymore because unless you've got an engine analyzer, you can't do anything.
Right. You have to have a computer to plug it into. And then they all have these special tools that are designed just for their brand of car, so just you can't take it to the standard technician to work on it. You have to have $10,000 worth of tools to work on a specific brand.
So I wonder if this happened to your friend yesterday when she went in, they scared her. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the first things to be very careful of is scare tactics. When you take your car in, mm-hmm. they go, you know, I would not drive this car another foot until I did so and so. Get a second opinion. Unless the car won't run, if a guy's trying to scare you, get a second opinion and don't tell the second guy what the first guy said.
Good one.
Say, look at my car, tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm. Look for certifications on display. ASC is the National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence, or maybe AAA, American Automobile Association certification, as well as a state license. Reputable shops are going to be proud to display these licenses, so if you don't see them hanging in the shop, ask for those certifications. And then if you don't see those, and it's not your brother-in-law who's doing it for free, I'm thinking, get that tow truck to tow your little car to the next possible shop. I have clients that call us, and you know our clients use their specialist for more than just buying or leasing their car. Because we have so many connections, because we do these things, deal with these things all the time, I tell my clients, no, I don't care what happens to your car, call me. Mm-hmm. If you want some guidance, if you need to be reassured or whatever, and you need a referral, because I'll be happy to tell you a good place to use.
And I can attest to that. When I had my old car and somebody hit me in a parking lot,
right,
and I called you guys and said, what do you recommend? Who should I take it to get fixed? And you told me to go to a guy in Plano, and I took it and it came out looking like a brand new car.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost
and it
you
was
a
affordable.
Lot less.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was our friend John Ellis in Plano. He does a great job.
Vantage Collision.
And when you get into a shop, look around. Make sure it's clean. If the floors are all greasy and nasty and there's rags laying around and cans laying around everywhere, probably you want to find another shop to do. And I'm just saying, if a guy keeps a shop like that, that's how he works on cars.
That's a catch-22. I got a good referral from one of my other guys on a BMW, because he doesn't do BMW, he does domestic and Japanese cars. And I called him about a client that called me about a friend's BMW, and he said, well, I've got this guy. He said, I've known him for 20 years. He knows these cars inside and out, but his shop isn't very impressive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of, he said, that would scare most people with a BMW.
Right.
Yeah, so well, impressive and dirty and junky is two different things.
Though. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, dirty and junky.
Kind of warning me on that. But it still was a referral from a guy who's one mechanic to another. They kind of know what the other one can do. In that particular case, maybe I'd probably go with it, but I'm just saying.
This is a really, really, really important piece of advice. Never sign a blank repair order. And so many people do this. They take your car in.
Don't sign a blank anything.
And they push this repair order in front of you. It's called an RO, a repair order. And they said, here, sign down here at the bottom. And when you do that, you authorize anything that they fill in.
Mm-hmm.
So before
you authorize to pay for anything they have done,
exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
You're saying, I'll pay for whatever you write on this form.
So tell them you want the specifics written down as to what they plan to do and the prices of those specifics and then any warranties that might apply to any of that. And this doesn't, I don't care if you're going to a new car dealer or a repair shop,
or an independent.
Never sign a blank repair order.
Don't sign a blank anything. Don't sign a blank anything.
Exactly.
Another thing, speak up and look around. Ask for recommendations, years in business, warranties offered, licenses, and the type of equipment used. Like David said, look for the clean garage. But I don't know if we, I don't know, did I just double up and repeat the same one?
Nope.
But look around for warranties and check to make sure. And when he was talking about, you know, don't sign that blank thing, if they don't know, if they can't tell you what anything is going to cost, at least come up with how much you're going to be willing to spend until they stop. Say, okay, well, I'm only going to give you $200 worth of investigation room, you know, to find out what's wrong before you need to call me and let's figure out if this is worth going further.
And that's an excellent point also. There is something called diagnostic time.
Diagnostic.
And if they don't know what's wrong with your car, they're going to have to spend some time on it. It should be reasonable. Ask them going in, what's the diagnostic time? How much are you going to charge me for that? Because that's a real thing. And expect to pay some if they don't know what's wrong with the car and you don't either.
And don't think you can take it into a shop, let them tell you what's wrong with it, and then leave without paying them for that. You know, if they've done some work, you need to realize that there's going to be some diagnostic repair or diagnostic cost.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you do want a second opinion, you're going to have to pay the first guy for his opinion.
Right.
But, you know, if that's $100, that's a good $100 spent if you want to check it, you know. But know that you're going to have to pay somebody for their opinion.
Look for a specialist. Don't take an Acura to a BMW shop. Right. If a guy specializes in German cars and you have a German car, go to that guy. He's used to working with the parts. He's used to seeing the problems. He's seen the same kind of failures before.
And nowadays, they have to have a good engine analyzer and a scan tool because cars are computers. They are not that 65 and a half Mustang that's carbureted that a secretary can work on.
Upgrade your oil. Now, here's the kicker. Synthetic oil costs a little more, but you run a lot longer between oil changes, and it really, really does prevent engine wear. If you're running regular oil, next time you get it changed, change to synthetic, and then run the suggested intervals on the synthetic, and it'll make your engine run longer and cleaner.
And your mechanic or technician might not tell you that.
That's true.
Because then you would come visit them less and spend less money.
Right.
Exactly.
David already mentioned the blind second opinion. Oh, coolant flushes and power steering flushes. Very common gimmicks at Quick Lubes. Check your owner's manual. Most cars have fluid levels that are designed to go 100,000 miles, and cleaning those fuel injectors is a waste of time and money. There are additives on the market that do a great job.
Here's another kicker. If you're going to get your brakes done, and this is something everyone has to have done.
This is important.
Get OEM pads. Get original manufacturer's
equipment pads.
Yeah, because the replacement pads in a lot of cases don't last near as long.
Okay. So do you want to stop or do you want to cause a pileup?
That's true, too.
Tire check.
Go ahead.
And these are things your mechanic won't tell you.
Because we have taken a little bit of a while. Ask about your new tire's build date. There was a date that the tire was built. If you're getting an unusually good deal, you might be receiving three-year-old treads, which is especially risky for snow tires.
Mm-hmm.
And to wrap it up, a couple of things. Warranties. If your car's in warranty and you have work done somewhere else, sometimes the manufacturer will still pay for that. Always check to see if there's warranties in effect before you have paint work done. And finally, it's not okay to drive around with your engine check light on. It may not be that you left your gas cap off. You may have a serious problem that needs to be checked. So when that check engine light's on, get it checked.
That's right. We'll be back. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, on that warranty, though, call the manufacturer. That's only like if you are stranded in the middle of nowhere and there's not a dealer that services your car.
Mm-hmm.
And the manufacturer usually has to approve it. But go ahead.
All right, got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil, here for you till 10 o'clock. 877-881-1053 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. Also, 43733 is our fan text, and you can even call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. You can go to autoflex.com, see all our great pre-owned cars right there. Also, follow the stories that we're doing in-depth by clicking on the Facebook page and liking us, and all of the great stories are there.
Yes, and very shortly, we're going to take calls on a new recommendation from the National Traffic Safety Board.
Yeah, NTSB has now suggested that all electronic devices be eliminated from use in a vehicle. In other words, you can't use your cell phone even with a Bluetooth or a hands-free. You can't use any of the new infotainment systems that would allow you to verbally text. You can't do any of those things because of it's called distracted driving. And we'll talk about that. We talked last week about your opinion changing in the last year on distracted driving. And a lot of people have changed opinions and think now that distracted driving is, and certainly texting while driving is a big problem. Is it such a problem that we should be forbidden to carry a cell phone and use it in a car?
Okay. Does anybody care about my... We should not text while driving, period. Period. You're not watching the road.
I agree.
Talking, I don't know. I feel like I sort of can do it, but again, I'm still a little bit distracted. And mm-hmm. You're not going to take the talk away.
Right.
You're not going to take that away. But texting...
I agree.
We really should stop doing that.
So if you've got an opinion on that, if you'd like to text in or call in, we'll be glad to take your call or text. Also, fan text. Here is a fan text from an automobile technician who says he does 200 hours of training a year just to keep up with the new vehicles. That's why you have to take your vehicle to a place that knows what they're doing.
That is 5 full weeks a year.
That's a lot of training, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
I wonder if doctors have to keep up that much extra training every year.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Continuing education.
I hope
the car
do.
Doctor.
I know.
All right. So again, if you support this new proposition from NTSB, or if you're against it, feel free to give us a call, 877-881-1053. Let's talk about car ads and some of the ones that really, really impacted us.
People
in 2011.
People are texting in their
in their accents.
In their accents.
Yeah, we started the show in British accents, and we told people if they want to call, they have to do an accent. So now we have, hola, did you like my Spanish accent? Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Hola, Isabel, did you like my Spanish accent? I love it.
Very nice.
I love it.
What did we watch on TV last year? The most popular ads on television for automobiles. Number one ad
Can
on
I guess?
TV. Yeah, go ahead and guess.
Was it M&M's 2-minute commercial during the Super Bowl for Chrysler?
One of the five.
It's in there. It's in there.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the five.
Was it the Kia Hamsters?
One of the five.
That was in there. Keep going. Let's see if you can guess another one.
Let me think of what else. Was it Jennifer Lopez in the Fiat car?
Another one. You're so good.
Wow.
Yeah,
I have not seen this list, I promise.
Yep.
Two more.
You haven't hit number one.
Car commercial. Waddle, can you think of one? Like a major car commercial from 2011.
That's bad or good?
No,
good.
Anything.
The most watched. Most watched car.
All I can think of are the Chrysler commercials with
M&M.
With M&M.
Yeah.
Okay, think Volkswagen. What was the Volkswagen with the kid?
The Force.
Star Wars.
Oh,
the
that's
Force.
Right.
Right. Number
yes.
one.
Right.
They had the number one commercial last year. 63 million viewers saw that. Number two. And this is surprising to me, the Fiat commercial with Jennifer Lopez.
Well, that's because of J-Lo. That's Booty and the Beast.
Right.
I'm just telling you, that's the only reason J-Lo would ever be in that car is if they're paying her a lot of money. But anyway, third, you're right, imported from Detroit, the 2-minute Super Bowl commercial with Eminem's music that Audi later stole and tried to run in Europe. Next, Kia's Hamsters.
I love those guys.
I love the hamsters.
Me
and they've
too.
Got a new one out.
Yeah.
They've got a new hamster out. And then finally, rounding it off, the Bridgestone commercial with all of the little animals.
I don't know if I saw that one.
Well, that's brand new. Well, I think it's brand new. I've just recently seen that.
Yeah, it's
that
really
one.
Cool.
It's talking about, you know, or that's the, I thought that was the hybrid thing.
No. Well, it's the Bridgestone with all the little animals in the forest. Anyway, that was number five. Top five of the year. The other thing is, and we run some of these on Autoflex's website, the Gymkhana videos with the driver, Ken Block, driving the holy heck out of cars and spinning them and sliding through warehouses and doing
so
all that
cool.
neat stuff, Gymkhanas. Yeah, those are the most viewed on the internet of anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. All right, we got some phone calls here we need to get to. 877-881-1053. Let's check in with Jim in Lake Dallas. Hey, Jim, you're on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am in, as a professional driver, I am in favor of taking away the electronic media out of the vehicle. I see too many accidents that are caused by people distracted, talking on the phone. And when I'm going down the highway, all of a sudden the car in front of me drops from 70 to 55 because they're answering their phone or they're talking on the phone, and it's just an unnecessary evil. I know it's a time saver. As a driver, I got to talk on the phone too to get changes in my route and stuff, but I would be in favor of everybody getting rid of it so that I can live.
Jim,
it's my preference.
Jim, what do you do exactly? What kind of driver are you?
I drive a 24-foot straight truck, and I deliver furniture regionally all over Texas. I just came back from Brownsville last night.
And wow. So you see a lot of the results of people being on the telephone.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, every day. I see an accident every day.
Really?
You know, and every single day that I drive, there is an accident that I see somewhere. Yeah.
Wow.
And you know that, and most of them are distracted driving accidents, do you think?
Well, I mean, there's no way I can see car wreck and walk, you know, drive up on it and go, oh, there's a car wreck. Oh, that was somebody talking on the phone. You know, I'm not that obnoxious, but I can see so many things where I'm driving down the road, like I said, and I see people swerving or stuff. When I get next to them, they're on the phone.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yeah, I see that too.
Yeah, and when I'm driving down the road, I see somebody. I'll look over and I see somebody fumbling for their phone, and they slow down, and then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, they're zooming past me, still talking on the phone. I know that's going to cause an accident.
Sure
it
is.
It has to.
Yeah.
It has to.
Well,
you
I'm
know,
just
you
thinking.
You don't have to be a scientist to figure that out.
Right. And I'm thinking, Jim, if there is an accident, somebody really wasn't paying 100% attention. Otherwise, they wouldn't have run into whatever they ran into, whether it was another car or a curb or whatever. Aren't you thinking, if you pay attention, you won't run into it, right?
Yeah, that's. I mean,
there's
you're
the deal.
Right. There is, but that's why so many of the professional drivers you see in the big rigs, especially, you'll see them wearing a headset with both hands on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You
Good
know.
Deal.
So, I mean, if you mandate it where they have to use a hands-free device to drive, I could go along with that. But if it's all or nothing, I'd go for nothing. I'd say, you know, eliminate it totally.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
We're talking about distracted driving and having electronic vehicles available to you while you're driving. Let's head out to Dallas and check in with Kelby. Hey, Kelby, you're on with David, Tammy, and Sybil.
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
We're good.
Good.
Good morning.
I got a question.
Okay.
Okay. I have a 98 Ford Escort. You know, I can't wait till I upgrade. You know, I'm a hardworking college student. I was just wondering, you know, so my car doesn't have all of the features that a 2010 to 2012 would have.
Right.
So I have navigation on my phone. So how do you feel about using navigation on my phone while I'm driving?
Well, I have it on my phone too, Cody, and I look at the directions all the way through before I set out on my trip.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Cody. Does yours talk to you?
Is it?
Does
Say
it have, what?
Does your navigation on your phone talk to you?
Yes, it does.
Yep.
Every turn.
Mine does,
you know,
too.
So I really don't have to look down. It'll tell me turn left in 100 feet or whatever.
Now, see, this is a great call because here's the deal. Mine does, too, and I never look at it again. Before I go, I tell it where to go, and then I put it down on the console, and it tells me what to do. It tells me how far to the, is it like yours? Tells you how far to the next turn, which way you're going to turn, all that stuff?
Nope.
Hey, Kelby.
Right. So how do you feel about the overall general opinion of, you know, using my cell phone while I'm driving? Because, you know, with me still using navigation, I'm still using my cell phone. So is that like a double-edged sword or what?
It kind of is, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't see a lot wrong. If your phone's sitting on the console and it's just saying turn when you get to the next corner, I really think that's pretty useful, and it's not taking your attention away from the road.
I think it's fine as long as you have done all of that before you are driving, you know, and you're not looking down and putting in the address during that.
So your ace is in our book, Kelby. All right,
now,
there he goes.
I think we've lost
there's
Kelby.
There's so many good things that come along with these electronic devices. It mm-hmm. is the users. It's how we use them and what we're doing. It's not the device.
Right.
It's us. It's the people.
Mark from Royce City, welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment that I'm for eliminating cell phone use while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a volunteer firefighter, and I can't tell you how many times I've been run over next to a fire truck in full bunker gear, reflective gear, in the middle of the day, and people are just talking on the cell phone. I mean, almost run over. You know, I know they can see me because you see a big red fire truck.
Yeah.
You can't help
You'd
it.
Hope.
I know you see it, but people not paying attention, driving too fast, you know. I can't tell you how many times I've almost been run over because people not paying attention because they're talking on the cell phone.
Their mind is on that conversation and not on driving.
Yeah, I've had almost thrown flashlights and Anything, car doors to keep people from getting running me over.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's a serious deal.
Yeah, and this is just out in the country. I'm in a volunteer for a rural fire department, and this is just, I can't imagine the guys working, 6:35, and that's why they park the big ladder trucks over three or four lanes, just to keep from getting run over.
Oh, is that why, when there's an accident, that's why they do that, to try to make everybody safe?
Well, interesting. Where we are, we have two and maybe two four-lane roads, but we don't have the equipment like they do to protect ourselves, so we just kind of have to keep an eye on each other, make sure if we see somebody coming, and give somebody a heads up or pull somebody out of the way kind of stuff.
Mark, we appreciate the information. That's a really good call, and we appreciate it, and we're on your side on that, buddy.
Yeah. I appreciate you.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Interesting. Well, this is exactly why I wonder why anybody would ride a motorcycle in the city. I mean, I understand if that's your only mode of transportation, but I want some metal and some airbags around me because I don't feel like everybody else is paying enough attention.
Right. That's a good point. All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil, here for you. 877-881-1053 is the phone number if you want to call, but not while you're driving. Or you can fan text us, not while you're driving, at 43733. And you can call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234 or autoflex.com on the World Wide Web, where you can start a deal, find out what your car's worth, and that's a really important thing. You can go to autoflex.com and get a Black Book appraisal on your car right now from the comfort of your big chair at home. Just get on the computer, go to autoflex.com, click on what's my car worth, and you can get a Black Book appraisal right now.
Mm-hmm. So take advantage of that. Coming up at 9:45, we are going to talk about the legendary Ford family. What's going on with them?
Well, they're in great search of the punch bowl.
We'll talk about it at 9:45.
The lost punch bowl.
Exactly. But we're going to go back to 1901 when Henry Ford was dead broke trying to figure out how to stay in the car business, and a punch bowl that they've been looking for since then.
All right. But first, let's talk about the worst cars of all time.
Aha!
I got some opinions on that.
You know what's funny? My dad and I were talking last weekend about cars of yesteryear, cars that we don't think about, cars that you did, little known cars. And one of the worst cars turns out to be one that he mentioned was a Crosley.
Never even heard of that one.
Well, American made car. They actually built washing machines and other appliances, small appliances. They started out, they had that small little motor that was already successful, and then they built the Crosley around it. But the 1949 Crosley Hotshot, that's one of the worst 50.
Absolutely.
Of all time.
You know, I think back to the horrible, horrible cars that I've known personally. How about the 1982 Cadillac Cimarron?
Oh.
It was a Chevrolet Nova that was dressed up like a Cadillac. It was loud.
Lipstick.
It rattled. It was really, really a bad car.
What about the Pontiac Fiero, or whatever that it was?
That's another terrible, terrible car. That's one of the worst cars ever built. And they sold a ton of them. They had a plastic body that was great if you lived somewhere north of Texas, but the heat from the sun here would warp the body panels on it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, especially the black ones.
And their engine fire issues. It's just kind of funny that it was called a Fiero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they did catch on fire.
Because they did catch on fire.
Yeah.
The 1961 Corvair, unsafe car.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of different feeling about that. I thought it was a great car, but it got, obviously there was a book written about it, unsafe at any speed, and Ralph Nader killed that car. Actually,
the 1970 AMC Gremlin.
I knew that one would be on
the list for a car. Why would you even call it a Gremlin?
Yeah.
And its brother, the 1978 AMC Pacer.
The
God,
Terrarium.
Those are terrible cars.
That's what we called it, the Terrarium. That's before your time.
Uh-huh. Wasn't there also a car called the Monster?
There was.
So the Gremlin and the Monster.
Yeah.
The 1971 Pinto.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great car. Yeah, because if you hit it from behind, it burst into flames.
Yeah.
And if you put Firestone 500 tires on it, at the time were known for blowing out, you could put the Firestone 500 tires on there, on the Pinto, and then give it to your mother-in-law.
Aww.
Okay, one of the worst cars ever built, the Yugo GV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a wonderful car, the Yugo. You know why they had defrosters in the back glasses of those cars? So you could keep your hands warm while you pushed it.
The 1982 Camaro Iron Duke? I didn't know that was a bad car in 1982.
Well, okay.
Was that the first year of the new body style? That was the first year of the new body style.
Yeah.
And it didn't go so well.
Let's go back to 1975 when a guy named Bricklin built an SV1, the 1975 Bricklin. Again, certainly one of the worst cars ever built, along with the fans of Back to the Future will argue, but the 1981 DeLorean DMC 12. It was the strangest car I think I've ever driven or been around. And the lift cylinders that held those gullwing doors up, after one winter, they were gone. So then you had to lift the door up and hold it up and then get out of the way really quickly as it slammed back to the car.
The 1998 Fiat Multipla? Have we not had Fiats in this country since then? Or?
No, not since then, and that's probably the reason. Also, the 1984 Maserati Biturbo, and this was a twin-turbo little Maserati coupe that overheated any time it was driven in any temperature that was above about 88 or 89 degrees. Anything over 90 for sure, the car would overheat after about 15 minutes.
Lovely. The 2001 Pontiac Aztec.
That, in my opinion, may be the ugliest car ever built.
Pontiac Aztec?
Yes.
The biggest problem with that vehicle is that they kept trying to cut costs, and they just really chiseled that thing down till it was one of the ugliest vehicles.
Well, I mean, it was like a plastic-clad box, basically.
Mm-hmm. And they misspelled Aztec.
And they did.
And there's that.
You know, and on this list, they include the 2004 Chevrolet SSR. And I really like that car, although it's totally useless. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't use the bed like a pickup truck, and it was a two-seater, but it was really cool looking.
The 2002 BMW 7 Series.
Joystick.
You know why that was
huge
an epic
problems.
Fail? Well, they weren't ready for it. It was too complicated and over-engineered for what people wanted.
Yep. How about the 01 Jaguar X-Type, which was really a Ford Taurus disguised as a Jag. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the 2003 Hummer H2.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You still see those around.
Yeah, you do. And one of my favorites of all time, the 2000 Ford Excursion, a car built certainly after its time. They called it the Ford-osaurus.
The Ford-osaurus. I remember going to the car show when that one debuted and thinking, nope.
No can do.
Nope. You don't. Yeah. Three doors to open in the back. Three.
Any car. Any car built by Trabant is on the list. Trabant was the East German car built when Germany was divided, and the communist side built the Trabant, and they were made out of tin and cardboard, basically.
Doesn't sound very safe at all.
Nope. And we can't leave out the 1976 Chevrolet Chevette. That was a terrible, terrible car.
That was also Pontiac did their own version of that. I think it was called the T-1000.
It was, and it was just as bad. You know, that
I can't
was.
Believe I remember that.
The cars that were built domestically in the 70s, all the way into the early 80s, were really, really not
good cars.
Do you remember
the Cimarron?
Yeah, the Cimarron. I mentioned it earlier.
No, I didn't mean the Cimarron. There was another Chevy, ugly Chevy car. I thought that was the Cimarron.
The Vega. The Vega.
I'll think of it later.
The Vega's on the list. I mean, it's one of the worst cars built.
Might
of
have
all
been
times.
Decent. Might have run and just fine, but they don't build them anymore.
A lot of people have had these cars and driven these cars, and no. They know.
Oh, here's a text clearly from a police officer. Phones are just another distraction for people who don't pay attention anyway.
Mm-hmm.
His patrol car has two radios, radar, computer, phone, etc. What's etc.?
More
but,
stuff.
But he knows that he's driving, and that's what requires his full attention.
Smart.
So, again, if you can't help yourself, put the phone in the trunk until you get to your destination.
Mm-hmm.
That way it's there if you need it in an emergency, but you'll stay off of it.
Right. Don't be tempted. All right, we got to take a quick break here, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, me, Sybil, and Waddle on our board. You can still give us a call, 877-881-1053. You can also fan text us at 43733. You can even call AutoFlex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Go to AutoFlex.com, find all the great pre-owned cars there. Start a lease or start a purchase online right there with AutoFlex.
Also at AutoFlex.com, if you click on the Facebook page, you can follow along with all the stories we've been talking about today, including the 50 worst cars of all time. Find out if one of your former cars is on the list. Now let's talk a little bit about the Ford family, because they're making headlines again.
Yeah, this is a story that Tammy dug up, and it's a great, great story. The year is 1901, and Henry Ford is dead broke. He owned the Detroit Automobile Company, which made trucks, and they were belly up. He was defeated. He was broke.
He moved back in with his mom and dad.
Wow.
Yeah, he and Clara and their son Edsel moved back in with his parents. This is
his
Henry
son's
Ford.
Name was Edsel. Remember that.
That's where it came from.
But that's where he plotted his next move.
Yes.
And he wanted to start another car company, and he did. Right, David?
Yeah, and here's how he did it. He put all his money on a race.
But he needed, because he needed more capital.
Because he needed money. Yeah, he couldn't start another company.
A car race.
Mm-hmm. He put all his money on a car race. It was the Detroit Driving Club's 25-lap race at the Grosse Pointe Blue Ribbon Horse Track. And he was going to race, among other people, the fastest man in America, who was named, I just blanked on the guy's name, Winton. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and Winton was the fastest racer in America in 1900. I mean, he was known all around America as being the fastest man in America. He was one of the ones in the race. And so Ford got his backers to back him in this race and placed all his hopes on beating Winton. And he built his car a little differently. He didn't build it to be the fastest car, but he built a car that he thought would finish the race.
He built it to be reliable.
And it was pretty smart. The first thing that happened was everyone beside he and Winton ended up having to drop out of the race because their cars broke down.
With all the preliminary races leading up to the big one?
Yeah, they all broke down.
They all had problems.
So the big race, and then the big race was cut from 25 laps to 10 laps because all of the events of the day had run over and they didn't have time to run a 25-lap race. So now you got a 10-lap race.
They were in overtime.
Exactly, mm-hmm. with Ford and Winton in it, and they start the race, and Winton's car starts to sputter and fail
and on
the seventh lap. Oh. And Ford's car, with a top speed of 26 miles an hour, wins the race.
And he won the $1,000 prize.
Wow.
And the publicity that went with it, and that's how he got enough money to start the Ford Motor Company.
But along with the $1,000 prize, there was a punch bowl. And what's funny is Winton was for sure going to win.
He knew he was.
And he had convinced the people that organized the race to choose this crystal punch bowl as the prize because it would look so good in his bay window, in his dining room.
But the Fords won the punch bowl. Now, here's the bad part of the story, or the other part of the story. In 1951, when Clara Ford died, her estate, a lot of it was sold at auction, and that punch bowl was sold at auction.
And nobody knows, the client was identified only as the garden shop.
Yeah, and Edsel B. Ford II, who is the great-great-grandson of Henry Ford, is now searching everywhere trying to get that punch bowl back.
Aww.
To go into the Ford Racing Museum in Detroit.
Whoever
in
bought
Dearborn,
that
actually.
Probably has no idea.
It's sitting on a shelf somewhere.
What it is, because Ford Racing predates Ford Motor Company by 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just thought that was just kind of an interesting story.
That is interesting.
That was the trophy and the way he won. You know, everybody else fell out because of mechanical failures, and it was just down to the two guys.
Right.
His wasn't the fastest car.
It wasn't the fastest.
It was the one that finished.
Uh-huh.
But he started passing that guy when his car started to fail. Anyway.
I like it. That's a feel-good story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 877-881-1053 is the number. Let's head out to Grand Prairie and check in with Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Sybil, how are you guys doing this morning?
Fantastic.
I just had a quick comment. You guys were talking about the NTSB thing a little bit ago. I'm an avid motorcycle rider. I ride about, I guess, most of the time, as long as it's not raining or it's not below freezing. And on a daily basis, it's my daily transportation, and I see massive amounts of chaos of people either texting or on the phone, and I guess you notice it a lot more because you don't have anything around you. You just have a helmet across your face, and it's really dangerous because I have nothing, and people just, they're on the phone, and they just, I'm going to go from the far right lane to the far left lane without letting anybody know.
They don't look. They don't turn on their signal. They're all out of blinker fluid.
Absolutely. I'm in favor of it. When I ride, I don't have any of that. It's just me and the wind going by me. That's it.
So. You're extremely aware of what's going on around you, aren't you?
Absolutely.
And as a motorcyclist, he's got to trust everybody else around him is paying attention.
No, don't trust.
But that's what I'm saying. It's your livelihood relies on everybody else and whether or not they're texting and driving.
Well, that and you have to anticipate. Is this knucklehead in front of me going to be? Going like the other guy said, from 70 to 55, or are they going to be going, and trying to cut off at the last second and come over into my lane without seeing me? You have to anticipate every little thing. So I think you're just a little bit more aware. Plus, as I said, you don't have any of the other distractions from a phone or a radio or anything like that.
And you have to be alert. You have to anticipate what everybody else is doing in order to protect yourself.
Absolutely.
And this is what I'm saying. We all need to do this. If you are not paying attention to driving, if you're having a conversation with someone, even in the car, but definitely on the phone, or you're texting and not even looking, how can you be anticipating what that knucklehead, to the left, to the right, or in front of you might be doing, like you said? That, and you know what? We should all assume everybody's a knucklehead.
Right.
Don't assume everybody's as bright as you are.
Matt, I'm an avid motorcyclist also, and I completely agree with you. The other thing is the lane change. Everyone listening, look very hard before you change lanes, because for me, that happens more than anything else, is people trying to change into my lane while I'm in it.
Yes, I have to agree with that. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most dangerous thing that you can face, I guess, as a motorcyclist, because most of the time people don't, like you said, take that second look, and there's such a big blind spot there, and a motorcycle's half the size of a car, and by then it's too late.
Have you ever kicked the side of a car before?
I have.
I have too.
I have.
Yep. Yeah, you have to. I mean, if they're coming, you kick the side of the car as quick as you can to let them know. You're not going to dent their car or ruin it, but at least it lets them know they're fixing to run over you.
I'm surprised the momentum of that, though, doesn't knock you down.
Nah, you just give it a little thump.
Do you know, even talking about this has my heart rate up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a good text. What about motorcyclists that fly past me weaving between cars going 100? Ask him about that. Well, that's not you, I'm sure, and there are foolish drivers on motorcycles and in cars.
If you're on wheels, you have knuckleheads regardless. So
right,
knuckleheads.
That's right. There are knuckleheads that are walking as well that don't even look before they cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pay attention. I mean, and in school zones, you know how the kids really like to mess with you a little bit and walk about half of the speed as they should be walking across the street. So you just have to be watching out for everybody else that's ready to cause an accident.
Hey, Matt, thanks for the two-wheel perspective, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. Have a great morning.
See you too.
So.
All right, we got a ton of texts in here.
We did.
They
have mentioned the Vega, the Dodge Omni, et cetera, but I found it was the Chevy Citation.
Worst cars of all time.
And David has some interesting information about it's not only one of the ugliest cars, but...
It was one of the worst cars ever built. And here's the thing. It won the 1980 Motor Trend Car of the Year Award. Here's the secret. It was built with something called high-strength, low-alloy steel. And basically, it was very, very light steel that required a certain kind of welder to fix, and there wasn't a shop in the country that had those welders yet. And they turn out these cars that then they'd use conventional welding on, and all the repairs they did would start breaking in 3 or 4 months from vibration. So 1980 Car of the Year from Motor Trend. If you're wondering how much money goes into a company getting Car of the Year, a lot.
Yeah, apparently yeah. so. All right, that wraps up our time, but you can still call AutoFlex 817 or 972-234-1234. Not too late to get those Christmas cars. Also, the website, autoflex.com. Thank you to Waddle on the board. Coming up next, it's Chris Arnold for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. My name's Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.